Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at about this time, we give you direct access to top experts in various fields related to the pandemic. Today, we'll be talking about school starting again, and that means it's time to think about COVID in the classroom.
To answer your questions, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. George Rutherford, pediatrician and director of prevention and public health group at UCSF. And if you have a question you'd like answered, please email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. Dr. Rutherford, thanks once again for joining us, as always.
Pleasure.
Kids are getting their backpacks together and their notebooks and stuff. And what else should they be getting ready to go back to school?
California requires a whole series of immunizations to enter school and others to change from elementary to middle school. So that needs to be in place. And I think from a COVID standpoint, I would certainly encourage parents to get their if their children haven't been vaccinated yet, to have them vaccinated. So that's those are the things to consider.
You know, and there is a new study. It's a national study, not necessarily in California, suggesting that in class transmission is all but eliminated if kids are vaccinated and wearing masks. Now, there are no more mask mandates in schools in California, at least not that I'm aware of right this moment. So what is your thinking on masking in the classroom, whether that's something that children handle well and is, therefore if it's worth it?
Well, they're certainly used to it now after 2 years, believe me. I think it's, you know, it depends on what's going on in the community and how much transmission there is. As you know, we've been in the midst of a major surge since March with these Omicron subvariants, sublineages, which may be starting to slow down. There are a lot of indications that it's slowing down, and we may be hitting a lull for a little while. I'd say that while there are no mandates to have masks, there are no mandates not to have masks either. I don't think it's prohibited. It might be in some school districts, but I think in general it's certainly allowed if people have concerns or if kids have concerns. But, you know, I think if enough children are vaccinated, and right now only about a third of elementary school kids have been vaccinated, we would have some level of protection, which may obviate the need for masks, but I frankly don't think we're there at this point in time.
You mentioned the relatively low numbers of school-age kids who were vaccinated, and apparently a lot of people, parents, believe that that's because they won't get really sick if they get COVID. What's the reality there?
Well, the reality is that they're probably right, but, you know, again, always be wary of adverbs. Probably means quite possibly they won't be all right, and COVID, at least in 2020, was the seventh leading cause of death in school-aged children in the United States. So it's nothing to mess around with, and it's vaccine preventable. You know, we certainly don't tolerate large outbreaks of measles in the classrooms because we have a very effective vaccine and you know, strict laws and rules about vaccination. COVID isn't at that point in time yet where it's required. And I think we have to see what the experience is with this newer vaccine that's coming out in probably next month, maybe October, that has some of the Omicron sublineages in it, like BA4 and BA5. I think that if that really is effective, we might see a move to try and get COVID added to the list of vaccines.
In the meantime, how can public health officials get the message out to parents that these vaccines, you know, are truly helpful and do work?
Yeah, well, it's, we by it's through shows like this, I think that there's a fair amount of public service advertising that's gone on as well. CDC's pushing this as well as the local health departments. So I think it's just, you know, people are going to have to hear it. And I think that, you know, outreach at schools might be something that some health departments consider, but it's going to, I don't think we have sort of this kind of great public thirst for COVID vaccination that's for school-age children that's been fulfilled, right? It's not like it's people are desperate for it. It's not like it's hard to get. It's easy to get. All you do is go get it. I would encourage people to do that.
Well, let's not ignore the fact that there are adults teaching and administering in these schools, and they are still susceptible to serious illness.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, there are children with disabilities as well, right? You know, who may have metabolic disabilities, who may have structural, you know, something like cystic fibrosis or really bad asthma, who might not do well, or diabetes, who might not do well if they get COVID. And I think, you know, I mean, that's another consideration is, you know, when you vaccinate people, are you vaccinating to protect themselves? Yes. Are you vaccinating to protect others by, you know, by eliminating widespread transmission in schools? And the answer to that is yes as well. And I think that, you know, kind of all in all, it comes down, and we have tons of experience with COVID vaccine in adolescents and younger children. And I think that it comes down to the end of the fact that people, it makes sense to me for people to get their kids vaccinated.
You were talking earlier in our conversation about COVID case numbers and how we've been in a surge, but it seems to be sort of falling a little bit. This listener wants to know how worried parents should be about their children getting COVID at this point.
They should be worried. I mean, it's all around. It's all around us. Just to caution people who understand that the case numbers are a very soft indicator because there's so much home diagnosis that's going on and so little gets reported. We actually follow levels of COVID in the wastewater stream as a much more reliable indicator of what's going on, and those levels have been dropping now for a couple of weeks. So we interpret that to mean that the levels of COVID transmissions are falling, but they're still high. You should be concerned that your kids, you know, could potentially be exposed and get COVID. And given what we know about long COVID and the risk even to children, it's something that's better avoided.
We've discussed vaccines. We've discussed masking for kids. The third leg of that triumvirate is ventilation in schools. What is the requirement there?
There's been a lot of money that's been made available both by the federal government and by the state to improve ventilation in schools. I think that certainly helps. And I think it's probably about as good as it's going to get for now. There's been a fair amount of remediation that's gone on. If there are continued problems, I, you know, encourage you to talk to the principals or the school boards about the potential for improving the ventilation in certain classrooms.
All right, this is a listener question who we probably will assume or can assume has gotten their children vaccinated. They want to know when might school-age kids be able to get a booster or another booster?
Yeah, that's a great question. And because we do have this new vaccine coming out, right now the boosters are indicated are only authorized for children 12 and older. So the answer is you can get it right now. However, given that we're going to get this brand new vaccine next month that has the Omicron strains in it, so it's going to be vaccinating you for something that's a lot closer to what's circulating right now than the ancestral strains of SARS-CoV-2, you could make a case to wait for that vaccine. If you're older, if you have a lot of risk factors, if you're going to go to a place where you're going to get heavily exposed, like going to Europe or something, I would go ahead and get the extra dose now. But if you're, if it's a kid who's outdoors playing this summer and is not necessarily getting exposed, and I think that it might make sense to wait until this newer vaccine comes out before you get their extra dose.
How confident are you that those Omicron-targeted vaccines really will be available next month?
Well, the over-under at CDC is September 29th, just so you know what the betting pool says there. I think that what we're going to be looking at mostly, probably going to really be around the 1st of October, but the White House is talking about it in great detail and has elaborate plans for rollout.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're right to think we're talking plus or minus a few days here.
Yeah.
Here's another listener question. My daughter got her second Pfizer vaccine 2 weeks ago. Her birthday is at the end of August. Which age group's third vaccine should she get? The 6 month, 4 year, 5 year, 11 year?
There's no third vaccine for anybody under 12 months at this point in time. There's no third vaccine for anyone under 12 years of age at this time. So it depends on what her birthday is going to be. Did you say 8th birthday? I'm sorry, I missed that detail.
She didn't say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she didn't say what age.
Okay, well, if she's 12 and older, you can get it now. She had it. Typically, the wait period is about 4 months between completing a primary series and getting a third dose. If she's under 12, there's no third dose that's available. And you should definitely wait for the new vaccine to come out.
All right, another listener question here. If somebody is exposed to COVID now, assuming it's the BA5 subvariant, and ends up getting it, what's the shortest time it would take that they would be contagious to others? And this person is asking this in reference to planning a visit with family.
Right. It's about it's somewhere between 2 and 3 days is the incubation period of BA5. It's much shorter than the earlier strains were 3 to 5 days. So the incubation period has come down as well, which is why contact tracing has become so much less efficient.
Question here about, it says Denmark has canceled vaccines for those 18 and younger. Mm-hmm. What's your feedback on that?
I'm unaware of that. There is for adolescent and young adult males, that we'd like to give the vaccines further apart, like 8 weeks apart as opposed to 4 weeks apart for a primary series. And that's to avoid a complication of heart muscle inflammation, which is a rare complication, but it really is very specifically centered in the population of 12 to 39-year-old males. So that might have something to do with it, but it's just for males, and it's just in that age group. And it's not about not vaccinating, but it's about spacing out the vaccines further.
All right. Well, we thank you very much, Doctor, for taking the time to talk to us. That is Dr. George Rutherford, pediatrician and director of prevention and public health at UCSF. He's our guest today, or was our guest today, on Ask an Expert. If you missed any of that interview, you can find it posted on our website. That's where we put all of our Ask an Expert interviews. Just go to kcbsradio.com/askanexpert, or when you're on our homepage, just look under the More button.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.